Okay. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us, Lord. Because we know that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment, we condemn. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of all the strongholds. We take the shield of faith and we quench every fire dart of the enemy that's aimed at us. And we take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and defeat the enemy with it in the name of Jesus. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed from sickness and all attacks from the enemy. And we overcome all because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're delivered from the power of darkness, and we're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we don't have the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and we have favor with God and man in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for blessing us tonight with your wisdom. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with your words, Lord, and your revelations. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me let Dave in. Uh-oh. I think I deleted him. Maybe he'll come back in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are fired up for Jesus tonight? Glory to God, I am. I am. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Ooh, my, my, my. I tell you what, it's going to be a good night tonight. I got a feeling. I got a feeling. Woo! Everything gonna be all right. Y'all just wish you could sing like me. Come on, man. All right, we're gonna do some praying tonight. Hi, Dave. Hey, Dave Nelson. Hey, brother. All right, does anybody need any prayer? Anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Tim. Timbo. All right. Hi, Barry and Marilyn. I see y'all in there. Hi, Megan. Glory be to God from the girl from Texas. We're praying for you, girl. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Joe. Hi, Debbie. What'd you do with Denny? Got him washing dishes or something, ain't you? All right. Hi, Missy. Go ahead. I had to wait till I got to you, girl. I was going down the list here.
To pray for my sister-in-law. My mom called me today and said that she had talked to my brother, and he said that his wife Dorlee had something happened with her right eye, and she couldn't see out of it right, and I think maybe it was causing her pain and everything. I don't know exactly, and it wasn't clear about what happened, but she had to have emergency surgery or something wrong with her lens and her eye or something. And so they did emergency surgery on her eye. And I like to pray for her. And I'm also concerned that there's been, I'm not even sure why, but there's been a rift between my mom and my sister-in-law, and I'm not sure what that's about. And My mom says she forgives her, but when I heard her say a couple things on the phone, I know she hasn't. And I know my sister-in-law, you know, from what my mom is saying, is holding a grudge with my mom. And so I'm more concerned about that than my sister-in-law's eye. But Father, I ask you to get a hold of both of them, Lord, and open their eyes to see that they need to forgive if they want to be forgiven, Lord. And Lord, please make it clear to me if you want me to say anything to my mom about this. She has a lot of denial about unforgiveness, Lord. And so I just ask you, Lord, to soften their hearts and open their eyes to this, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that that Lord, all that's going on with both of them personally and you know, and all that you show them, Lord, that why it's going on, Lord, because we know that the curse is on us because of lots of times it is on us because of unforgiveness and sin and so on and so forth, anger, bitterness, and all that, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to heal my sister-in-law's spiritual eyesight, Lord, more than anything, Lord, and help her to see, Lord, that things that are going on with her is because you love her, Lord, and that she needs to be right with you and with others, Lord. And I ask you to do the same thing with my mom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Got some more, Missy? Okay. Go ahead, Judy.
I'd like to pray for my oldest daughter again. She's drinking. She's the one that doesn't have the nose, that her nose exploded or whatever you call it. She hasn't stopped smoking. She's going to talk to the doctor again tomorrow, I think, to delay the surgery. But then I'm thinking, well, Lord, maybe you're doing a work in here. Maybe she's delaying it. I believe he's going to eventually fix it, give her a new nose. But I also believe she has to quit smoking and the drinking. Lord, she's got to give it up to you. She's got to turn, and I've got to turn everything over to you. Lord, I just lift Angie up to you. I ask that you just take care of this situation. Take it out. It's not anything that I can do, and I know that. And just give me peace of mind also. Mm-hmm. But take this generation curse of alcoholism and smoking. Take it away. Lord, we ask that we bind it up and cast it away from her. Lord, we break this generation curse. And we ask that, I've asked again. So now I'm just going to thank you, Lord. I'm going to thank you for all you're going to do for her. Amen. Finally, I'll get it. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you're going to do. And I'm going to leave it up to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Quit pulling her off the altar, Judy.
Yeah.
Amen, girl. She'll be fine. You just keep believing. She'll be all right. Don't worry about what you see in with your eyes. Just keep on believing. She'll be fine.
Well, also, Lord, help my other daughter, Amy, because she's so stressed out about everything because she comes home and sees her that way, you know, and she's on house arrest, so she can't. Angie's been smoking marijuana too, and she's found a pipe and she finds a liquor bottle, and you know, so I've been praying for her that the house arrest people aren't going to come and find anything. She's going to be okay. So give her peace too, and turn her over to you too. I turn
Amen. Them all. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Praise thank you, you, Father.
Lord, I thank you that Judy does not have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I know it gets us down when we see that, but we just have to let the Lord do it and keep a big old grin on our face because we know He's working it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I've got some good news myself. The other day, day before yesterday, you know, Blake's out of rehab and he's kind of moving around a little bit. But he came to the house and spent the night at the house with Michelle and my daughter and Tiffany, his sister. Now she's the mama of that family. This is the oldest sister. That's Blake's older sister. And I had her go get a guitar that I had bought from a lady there in North Little Rock. And she picked it up and she took it to the house. And she asked me, said, am I supposed to give it to him? I said, hang on. And so I prayed and the Lord said, yeah, go ahead and give it to him. So she did. And it really changed him. It really changed him. He was actually first time I'd seen a tear in his eye in a long time. And the next day, he went to the county jail where he had a warrant out for his arrest, turned himself in. They turned him loose because of it. Of course, we prayed beforehand. And then he had another warrant out in North Little Rock in Pulaski County, which is basically the same jail. And lo and behold, they turned him loose too. And they told him to just come back for court. Now, he owes somewhere around between $5,000 and $6,000 in fines. And we had talked to a couple up in his rehab before he left there. And they had witnessed about doing community service and getting rid of every fine that her husband had against him by doing community service on the weekends. And so we told Blake about that. And of course, he was there listening to some of it, you know. And he's got built up already like 500 hours of community service while he was in the rehab, going out into the community, doing work out there. And he's got a certificate from the overseer of that rehab stating that. And so we're just believing, I'm believing, that the Lord would use that to show favor to these people so that he won't have these fines facing him. You know, when these men get out of prison and stuff, they see all of this and it's just like a big wall, you know, and they don't see any light at all. They don't see any light because they can't get anything, but they have to do this and they have to do that. And I'm just believing that God's going to take all of this away from him. I know he did wrong, but he spent a lot of his teenage and 20s in and out of jails because of dope, drugs, that kind of thing. But he's doing right. God's placed it in his heart. And I've kept my mouth shut as far as the things that I've seen and I've heard with him. And it looks like that. And Judy, I'm telling you this because it's to just leave stuff alone. Let God work it out in him. And it will happen. It will happen. I'm seeing the fruits of just leaving Blake on the altar, not saying anything to him about, hey, boy, you know, you can't be doing that. No, just let it go. Just let it go and let God do it. And when God does it, he works miracles through it. It touches their heart because they know now that you love them. You're not just sitting there beating them over the head with the Bible. And that's basically what I did. What, Blake, you know what the Bible says. Lord of God, here you go. You messing up again. Man, you know, you can't do that. You have to love them with the word. And when you love them with the word, they'll come in. You might have to go through some stuff, but they will. They will. They'll come back. And I'm believing this is his He manned up today or yesterday. He manned up yesterday and took it. He was scared. Don't get me wrong. He was scared to death to go up there because they had treated him wrong the last time he went up there to turn himself in. They went ahead and threw him in jail and almost sent him to prison for it. But anyway, he's doing good now, and God is in control. Amen. Yeah, I believe we're going to see him out here because God showed him, had me. I had some dreams about him coming out here and with Leon. Me and Leon and Blake and somebody else was in that dream.
I'll go get him.
What? It's not necessary. Right now, he's got to go through some stuff, get rid of some flesh. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. He's been out here once before, but he's coming back humbled this time. All right, anybody else?
I have a prayer request from Hassan. He asked for prayer for his little baby daughter. She's sick, and he asked for prayer just a few minutes ago.
Okay. Now, we're not going to say any more about that, but other than just praying for him. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against this infirmity, spirit of infirmity on Hassan's daughter, and we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And you keep, Lord, we thank you for your spiritual warrior angels around about Hassan and his family. And we thank you, Father. And no more. This is going to happen. We thank you, Father, that this daughter is healed in Jesus' name. Now get up, girl, and go help your mama in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Hassan and his family. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's done, Kathleen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Well, I'm pumped up tonight. I don't know about y'all. Y'all can sit there like a bump on the log if you want to. God is in control. Glory to God. Go ahead, Claire.
I would like some prayer for my mom, please. She's recently started going through some hot flushes. I'm not really familiar with any of that just yet, but I know that it's pretty bad. My mother-in-law struggles as well. She's never asked for prayer though, but we can pray for her anyway. But my mom is really struggling, and she can't take any medicine for it because she's on something else, because she had something happen to her last year. I can't remember what it was though. I think it was a stroke. No? Yeah, a stroke. So she can't have too much else. But her mindset is really good, and her relationship with the Lord has come such a long way. It's so beautiful. And she just sent me a message yesterday saying, please pray for me because I'm really uncomfortable. So I said, I will. Can I ask my brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you? And she said, please do.
Amen. Amen. What's your name?
Geraldine.
Geraldine? Okay. Lord, we lift up Geraldine to you, and we thank you, Father, for her heart for you, Lord. Lord, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of flashes or whatever in her body to leave right now in Jesus' name. She's not going to go through this in that kind of way. It's not going to be uncomfortable to her. It's going to be absolutely a fine transition in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And we praise you, Father, that Geraldine is healed, delivered, and set free by the stripes of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that she's going to have a wonderful testimony of now being at ease in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen for Geraldine's healing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
And then just one more thing. I have a friend who's just had, she's in South Africa, and she's just had her third baby. Beautiful birth. Everything went perfectly. She birthed with the same midwives I birthed with, but she really struggles with breastfeeding, and she keeps on saying that she has faith for it, but she keeps on moaning about the fact that it's so hard. And the baby's not yet 2 weeks old, so I mean, it is tough in the beginning anyway. But I would like us to pray for little baby Stuart to just have an amazing sucking reflex, and for Jessica's milk production to just be good, and that that baby is blessed with the best milk that it can get, and that the feeding relationship stabilizes, because this mommy is a believer, and she's lovely, and she's a good mommy, and she really wants to give her baby the best.
Okay, you will pray for it. We'll just believe with you.
Yep. Thank you, Father, for making Jessica a mommy again to beautiful little Stuart. And thank you for the faith in that family, Lord. And thank you for the peace that you put on that family, and for Shane that leads them so well, and for those little girls who are so in love with their brother already. Father, we bring Jessica and Stuart to you now, Father, and we bind any spirits of unbelief, witchcraft, sorcery, pharmakia, faithlessness. We bind them in Jesus' name. And we let loose a spirit of pure joy at the reality of Jessica being able to breastfeed properly, the way you've ordained her body to function. Thank you for giving Stuart a beautiful sucking reflex. He was born on term. He's a healthy weight. He's going to be a bright boy. And I'm sure he's going to be raised to know and love you, Father. And we can thank you for giving them that beautiful breastfeeding experience without any hindrance, without any stress, without any fear, because she is raising her children up as little arrows for you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for blessing that family and for restoring that breastfeeding relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Claire, and we believe it is so. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My, my, my. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Patrick.
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, yes.
Great. I've got a colleague that I spoke to yesterday. I don't know him on a personal level that well, although the last 2 years I got to know him in working relationship a bit better, and he's been very much playing the role of the mom and the dad at home. His wife, who's a medical doctor, is in depression. She uses a lot of medication, and Andre is his name, have to be the mom and the dad in the house. So that's the background that I've got to know him. And I had to call him yesterday about work, and which I've sent to him, and he didn't reply, came back to me for quite a while, and I was concerned about my patients not getting the service they need to get. And he just sent me a WhatsApp and said that his girl fell very, very ill. So I called him immediately and I asked him, Andre, what's up? What's going on? And then he said that she's been hospitalized with anorexia, and Claire will know the Institute Denmark, it's a psychological ward hospital, and that they can't visit her due to COVID rules. She's been there for over a week and none of her family can, he can't go and see her, and he stressed a lot about her. And she has to be pushed around in a wheelchair, carried to the bathroom. She's so weak and she still refused to eat. So the family, and I think due to the spirit that's on the mom, over years use of antidepressants and not being able to fulfill her role as a mom affected the daughter very much. That's just my own interpretation of the history that I know. And he's really broken down. So I said I'll pray for him, and if I could ask the group to pray for his daughter as well. So I'd really appreciate if we can pray for him, for the whole family, and specifically for the daughter, that she would start eating and that she would be able to cast off his spirit. She's 12, 13 years. She's still so young.
Okay. All right. Now, we're praying for the daughter who won't eat. Is that right? Okay. She's got mental problems?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We can do that. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord. What's her name?
The dad's name is Andre. I don't know what her name is.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up the daughter to you, and we thank you, Father, for what you're fixing to do to her. And in the name of Jesus right now, we come against that. We bind those spirits in her that are lying to her right now in Jesus' name, and we cast them out, every one of you. Go in the name of Jesus. You spirit of starvation, you go right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of suicide, go right now in the name of Jesus. You spirit of fear and confusion, go right now in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, go right now in the name of Jesus. We command every spirit that's hindering this woman right now to go from her in Jesus' name. You have to. We declare it and decree it in the name and the blood of Jesus. You leave her right now. And Lord, we thank you for restoring everything that the enemy has taken from her in Jesus' name. Let your glory, Father, let your glory just envelop her with your love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for this lady. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your angels that are ministering to her right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and there was somebody else in there that needed prayer.
I was going to ask, she said she's 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah, she's very young. She's really so young.
Oh, she is? Okay.
And
young girl.
Who's the doctor, the mother or the father?
The mother is a doctor. The father is actually a technician, a dental technician who does a lot of work for me. But the mother is a medical doctor. And she's been in depression and using a lot of medication since I started working with Andres. The mother is constantly depressed, in bed, not getting up, not attending to the family or to the children at all.
Okay, so the mother's got depression and the daughter is anorexic.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Right.
Oh, we've already prayed for her. That young lady is healed in Jesus' name. Now, you said the mom is depressed. That's the doctor. The doctor mom is depressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Is she Christian? Are these Christians?
No, I've only got contact with the dad, Andre. So I don't know her at all.
Okay. All right. Let's just pray this way. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we pray that the Lord of Harvest would send someone that they would listen to bring the truth of the gospel to them, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're going to grant repentance to them, that you will grant repentance to them. We ask that you do that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We break right now the power of Satan over their eyes to see that they need you, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that the person that does come and give them the truth of the gospel, that they'll listen, that it'll be hit right straight through their spirit. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for this family. And we thank you, Lord, that this little girl, I don't know, you know, whatever, how old she is, we thank you that you've already set her free. And then we thank you, Lord, that for bringing her into the kingdom as well, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, let her see your angel sitting there ministering to her, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Yes. You said anything that we ask in your name, that we shall have it. And I believe, Lord, that you're doing that for that young lady right now, in Jesus' name. And you're also doing that for mom and dad, too. Somebody that they'll listen to, that knows the gospel, is going to give it to them. They'll listen and come to you, Lord. And we're going to see a mighty, glorious reunion. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Glory be
Lord,
to God.
Lord, we also pray for generational curses that might be involved in that, any familiar spirits or anything of that sort. And we cast that out and we cast it down in the name of Jesus. it cannot mm-hmm. prosper. They cannot prosper. That these people would be set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, amen. God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yep, and we reject that spirit of pharmakia too, in Jesus' name. It has to go also. That's witchcraft. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, I just ask that you reveal to them that they are under the attack of Satan, that they realize there is a spiritual warfare going on in their life. It's not something that's there coming that's from them. It's anything wrong with them. It's just that they've been attacked and they realize there is a spiritual war. There is a God. There is salvation. There is Jesus that can go to for their life and they can be get relief and deliverance from all these things through the power of Jesus Christ and following, walking after him, becoming disciples of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for revealing that to them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, thank for you, what you're Lord. Doing.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Whew, glory to God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Here comes Greg. Y'all get ready. Rion, you look like part of the Blues Brothers.
Denny's got his hand up.
Who does? Denny? You got to unmute, Denny. You can talk, but we can't hear you. There okay. we go.
We got a box that popped up over across all the little things you're supposed to click on, and you can barely see them, and you got to get that arrow right on that point to make it work. So thank you, Father. Well, we want to thank everyone for prayer for our daughter, Victory. For those who don't know or don't remember, she has three children, and the oldest son is a seven-year-old, and he had a stroke, and so it became necessary for us to go back up. They live up in Illinois, to go back up and be with her family because she has two other children, a 1.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. And then where he was end up being for treatment was in Chicago, and she lives in Rochelle, which is probably a couple hours away. I'm not sure exact time. Depends on whether he gets a rush hour or not. But and so going back and forth, and then with the COVID thing, they couldn't. The father of Jonah, the boy, was he was going in there sometimes, and she was part time, but it was just really difficult, and she didn't have anyone else to be with the other two kids, so that's why we went up there to be with them. So, the God really started doing a work on Jonah after he's in the hospital there probably close to 2 weeks, I think, and then they were trying to set him up for a rehab situation, and he has a shunt in his head where the cranial fluid drains down through a tube into his stomach because his natural drainage system was blocked by a cyst that was growing. Anyway, that's why we think he sort of had that stroke, because that cyst started growing again and causing problems, and they end up putting in, now they got like a double drainage, one that drains the cyst itself and one that drains the cranial fluid. And but anyway, when he was going to go to rehab, he couldn't even walk that first day he got there. Victory saw him, and they were working with him, and he couldn't walk or do anything. And literally 2 days later, I mean, two or three days later, he left. He was walking and left the place. He walked out of the place. So God really touched him. And they released him because of all the distance and the travel and all that comes. They released him to another she's got him set up for some rehab, where close to where she lives. It almost seems like he doesn't need it, but I'm sure he could use some, you know, but God just really touched him. And then she didn't have a car. It's a complicated thing. So we were praying for a car, and our daughter start a GoFundMe thing. We ended up, she got enough money on that to get a car. And she got the car, and the Jonas seemed like he's recovering. And it was just a real good time being with them again, with her and with her, the children, and just having that, and, having the presence of the Lord there all at times. And it was just really a good time. But the father of the two youngest children, there's two different fathers involved here. The father of the two youngest children, who she's relying on for support, he ended up losing his job. And then now he's driving Uber. So he's driving like a taxi, all over. And he's a hardworking, good working man in that way, and a provider. But he gets pretty mad at her sometimes because she needs money, and he's got to come up with it. And he's not one that he's going to give you support. You always seem like you have to go after him for it. And the other job that he had, he ended up having to go to court, and they set it up where he had payments coming out of his check, and he really hated that. And now, since he lost that job, now he's driving, for Uber thing. And so she doesn't know whether he's going to come through or not. And they're having some difficulties now, and he gets mad at her, and then he ends up blocking her on Facebook, and she doesn't hear from him for, several days at a time. And then all of a sudden he'll come around again. So we want to pray for him. He's Cuban and he doesn't speak English. And she's learning to speak Spanish. And so but anyway, we want God to move in his life. And, her life is so unstable in that whole area. It's like, she just made some bad choices, but now she's got to live with them, but that's not something that God can't touch and do. So his name is Junior. It's Y-U-N, not Junior, but Junior, Y-U-N-I-O-U-R. And I want to lift him up. So right now, Father, we thank you for Junior's salvation. We have been praying for him, and we believe, God, you're bringing that conviction. Father, we ask you to draw him to Jesus. Put that drawing in him, Father, and give him that gift of faith, Lord, that he could have faith to trust you, and that you would give him your grace to get saved, and that would just really change things a lot, Lord. We just thank you for that. And we pray for their relationship, that they would get along, they would fall in love, really, and want to have a family together and go through life together in you, Lord. And so we just lift Junior up, and we thank you, God, and continue to bless Victory. We just thank you. Have your hand upon her. We know you're doing some things, and help her to train her children, get them on scriptural things, and get open that Bible for that family, just that they would behold wondrous things out of your word, that they would build their life around your word, around you, Jesus. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
We had thank at first, Lord. I had sent her some, ordered some stuff for like, I don't know if anyone's heard of the Bible book. It's Bible stories. And Jonah didn't want to listen to them. He didn't want to watch them. So, but now, when we were there, she did start putting them on again for him. He didn't want to. He wanted to watch his other shows. And she had him just sit there. Nope, not till you watch this. So she told us today that Jonah's been watching them every day. Every day he's watching one of these. And I don't think he's giving her a hard time. She said he's been watching them every day. And so that's really positive that he's getting the word in there. And, they're hearing the word and the stories of the Bible. Awesome. So.
Yeah. That's Jonah you're talking about?
Yeah.
Jonah, yeah.
Amen.
He's a sweet little guy, and he really has faith. For a child his age, he seems like he knows the Lord. He's aware of the Lord. He knows him, and he prays, I think God's got his hand on him for good. So,
amen.
So thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Little Jonah.
Yes, amen, Lord.
What is he, seven?
Seven, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thank you all for praying over the time. So,
amen. Let me pray for Eunice. I think that's what you said, right? Eunice?
Junior? Junior. Yeah.
Junior.
Y-U-N. Junior. It's like Junior, but with a Y.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I can speak Cuban now.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, we lift up Junior to you.
Yes.
We break the power of Satan over him and declare and decree that he comes into the kingdom right very soon in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to him. We pray the Lord of Harvest will send somebody he would listen to.
Thank you.
And Lord, we thank you for it. We're going to look and we're going to see a new family formed here. And it's going to be a family that loves you, Lord. And we thank you for it. And Jonah's going to be brought up with mom and dad in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you for that. Glory. Hallelujah. See.
Thank you, Father.
That's, I know a little bit of Cuban. See. All right, who's next? Hey, Malcolm. All right, anybody else got a testimony? Or?
Howdy.
What are you running? What are you running?
It's a 6.5 horse motor, and it goes around and around.
What for?
It runs an alternator that powers the house.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well, leave it running, because so you can see.
Yeah. Greetings, everybody. Bye.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you. Amen. Yeah, Dave.
I was going to ask Malcolm how that fire situation turned out around his house.
Well, it didn't burn him down. He's still going. He probably can't hear you for that motor. Okay.
Yeah,
now
I'm back. Sorry. I had to mute. I was in a very noisy environment. I can't even hear hardly. Yeah, the fire, I guess it's over. It's rained pretty hard here, and they worked pretty hard to even get, I mean, it's almost like a 200% out thing. They were digging down around the stumps and pouring water in, and, you know, it's almost like overkill.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Well, yeah, I guess that whole thing's over. It's starting to rain a lot, so.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Why worry when God's in charge?
That's right. Sit back, kick back, man. Start praying. That's all you need to do. Kick back, and praising God.
Sabbatismus rest, the continual rest.
Yeah. Amen. He wants us in that way, 24/7, don't he? I know where it's going to get in. Can I read y'all a little something here? Might help us. Y'all mind if I read you something from Andy? He quotes John 14:15-16. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. In Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. I'm going to read that one over. The Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The truth which these words express has often suggested the question, how can this be? We need the Spirit to make us obedient. We long for the Spirit's power just because we mourn so much the disobedience there still is and desire to be otherwise. And how is this? The Savior claims obedience as the condition of the Father's giving and our receiving the Spirit. And the difficulty will be removed if we remember what we have more than once seen, that there is a twofold manifestation of the Spirit of God corresponding to the Old and New Testament. In the former, talking about the old, he works as the Spirit of God, preparing the way for the higher revelation of God as the Father of Jesus Christ. And in this way, he had worked in Christ's disciples as the Spirit of conversion and faith. Now, what they were now about to receive was something higher, the Spirit of the glorified Jesus, communicating the power from on high, the experience of his full salvation. And though now to all believers under the New Testament economy, the Spirit in them is the Spirit of Christ, talking about the way of Christ, the nature of Christ, there is still something that corresponds to the twofold dispensation, where there is not much knowledge of the Spirit's work, or where his workings in a church or an individual are but feeble, there even believers will not get beyond the experience of his preparatory workings, though he be in them. They know him not in his power as the Spirit of the glorified Lord. Now here's one of them that I'm getting to. They have him in them to make them obedient. It is only as they yield obedience to this his more elementary work, the keeping of Christ's commandments, that they will be promoted to the higher experience of his conscious indwelling as the representative and revealer of Jesus in his glory. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. Now, I want to go on over here, and I'll start reading here. Obedience must precede the baptism of the Spirit. John had preached Jesus as the true Baptist baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus took his disciples as candidates for this baptism into a 3 years course of training. First of all, attached them to himself personally. He taught them to forsake all for him. He called himself their master and Lord and taught them to do what he said. And then in his farewell discourse, he time after time spoke of obedience to his commands as the one condition of all further spiritual blessing. And it is to be feared that the church is not giving this word obedience the prominence Christ gave it. Now here comes the meat. Wrong views of the danger of self-righteousness, of the way in which free grace is to be exalted, of the power of sin and the needs be of sinning, with the natural reluctance of the flesh to accept a high standard of holiness, have been the causes. While the freedom of grace and the simplicity of faith have been preached, the absolute necessity of obedience and holiness has not been equally insisted on. It has been thought that only those who had the fullness of the Spirit could be obedient. It was not seen that obedience was the lower platform, that the baptism of the Spirit, the full revelation of the glorified Lord as the indwelling one in his power to work in us and through us his mighty works, was something higher, the presence that the obedient should inherit. It was not seen that simple and full allegiance to every dictate of conscience and every precept of the word, that a walk worthy of the Lord to all well-pleasing, was to be the passport to that full life, in the Spirit, in which he would witness to the abiding presence of the Lord in the heart. And as a natural consequence of the neglect of this truth, the companion truth was also forgotten. The obedient must and may look for the fullness of the Spirit, the promise of the special, conscious, active indwelling of the Spirit to the obedient is a thing too many Christians unknown. The great part of life is spent in mourning over disobedience. I can attest to that. Over the want of the Spirit's power and praying for the Spirit to help them to obey. instead of rising in the strength of the Spirit already in them to obedience, as indeed possible and necessary. That was what I was wanting to get to right there. Did you hear what he said? The great part of life is spent in mourning over disobedience, over the want, Lord, give me more of your power so I can overcome this sin, when he's already given it to us, and praying for the Spirit to help them to obey, instead of rising in the strength of the Spirit already in them to obedience, as indeed possible and necessary. Did that make sense to y'all? Yeah, Missy.
Basically, what he's saying is just believe what the word says. I'm dead unto sin, alive unto God. And you have the power of the omnipotent Spirit of God. You know, that Bingo. Power is in you. You Bingo. Have that in you. It's faith. It's faith. It's knowing, reading God's word and believing who you are in him by faith. It's faith.
That's exactly right. I know you ain't teaching. You just sitting there telling us. Okay.
I'm a telling.
Praise God for us. Praise God. That's exactly right, Missy. We already have the power of God in us to be overcomers. All we need to do is just do it.
Where were you reading? Where were you reading from, Michael?
This book I got right here.
Who's it?
My notebook. That's what I was reading from. That's Andy Murray's The Spirit of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is this. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I assume most everybody here has, if not everyone, you already have the power to overcome. You not only have the power to overcome, he's told you to obey. That was a command, to obey. Okay, so I've got the power because I've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's already given me the power to do that. And now it's up to me to do it. Now, what do you want? And that's where that absolute surrender comes in. When you get that absolute surrender in there, and you know that, hey, look, Michael no longer lives, it's Jesus Christ. And when that sin comes up before you again, that disobedience comes up before you again, all you have to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the power to overcome. Glory to God. It's done. I ain't got to worry about it anymore. Praise be to God forevermore. I'm an overcomer. Glory to God, because the Holy Spirit is already in you. He's given us the power. And then we can go from glory to glory to glory. On up the ladder, on up the mountainside, going up to Zion. Glory be to God. There's got to be a song in there somewhere. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what the Lord showed me and really got me pumped up was this. Okay, in Hebrews it says two different places. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered, and through this things he was perfected through the things which he suffered. Okay, we have the very same Spirit of God in us that he had in him, that gave him the power to overcome, for him to be sinless. Therefore, we can overcome too. He said, what did he say at the very end of John 16? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He was saying, I have overcome and you can overcome. You know, wait for the Spirit, you know. I mean, he did.
And he also said this. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Well, if that's the case, then I'm an overcomer, glory to God.
Right.
I'm an overcomer.
So when the Lord really, you know, now and then, the Lord reminds me of that, you know, or I'm just praying or whatever, and it comes to my mind, and I get so excited, And, you know, praising the Lord. Thank you. I have that very same powerful spirit, the omnipotent power of God, the spirit of God in me that Jesus had. And, you know, he showed us the way. He showed us the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, no one can come to the Father except through me. You know, he was the forerunner. He showed us how to overcome. And,
amen.
You know, I was thinking earlier today, I was talking to the Lord. Sometimes I kind of like preach to the Lord in a sense. I tell him when I get pumped up about what, you know, I have in faith and what I know that I have in faith. And now I lost my thought. What was that, Lord? But anyway, so, yeah. So if we know, Jesus is the word. Okay, David, you know, this comes to me now and then, you know, David's favorite verse, the 2 Corinthians 3:18. But Jesus is the word, and the spirit is the word is the spirit. And when we look at the word, whatever it says, it's telling you who he is. And when you look at that word and you receive that word, you see Jesus. When you look at the word, you see Jesus, and it's telling you who you are, because you are Jesus. You have him, you know, and that's what it is to look in the mirror. You know, just believe everything that word tells you that you are. And so, yeah, that gets me pumped up too when I think about that too. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was the other, I think it was last week. I wasn't able to be here on Thursday, but I think that you guys were discussing or going to discuss how to enter into the Lord or something. I don't remember what the topic was now, but, and I kind of got derailed on the thing. So the next morning I asked the Lord, because I've been singing this song, Perfect Place in Christ, basically a perfect place in Christ. So I asked the Lord if he would give me a scripture that to show me how to rest, really rest in that perfect place. And he gave me, and it's interesting. Sometimes I ask the Lord for scriptures for for a question that I have or whatever, and he'll give me something that I just don't, I can't figure out the connection is, you know, and so I'll ask him for another one. And I don't know if I'm missing the point or the boat or whatever, but I can't understand the point of the scripture that he gives me. But anyway, this one was right on the money. And as I got to thinking about it, I realized that this was a foundation, maybe a foundation that he was correcting or reminding me of or something. But it was 1 Corinthians 1:30. And this is the scripture in Corinthians where he's talking about God glories in the weak things of the world. His weakness is greater than man's strength. His wisdom is greater than the wisdom of the world, etc. But when he gave me this, I sat and meditated on it for a while, but I'm just going to read it because it really hit. How do you rest How do I rest in that perfect place of Christ? How do I abide in you? And he gave me this. But of him are ye in Christ, who was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And all those four things there that he mentions are the very four things that I first looked at whenever I read that verse. Those were the things that my mind went to. Oh boy, Jesus is with the wisdom of God for us. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. All of those things. But this time, when I looked at it, I caught the words of him. God, a Father, being wanting to demonstrate to the world his miraculous power, authority, strength, mercy, grace, wanting to do that, he created, birthed Christ, and then he placed us in Christ. But of him are you in Christ. Of him, it is he, it is the Father's will, it is the Father's doing. Of him ye are in Christ. And I realized that resting in Christ has a certain bit to do with the fact that there is no way, there isn't any possible way I could get myself into Christ. There's no way any of us could get ourselves into Christ. God doesn't put you in Christ, you're not in Christ. God doesn't give you the Holy Spirit, you don't get the Holy Spirit. It is of him that we are in Christ. It is totally God's act, God's thing that he accomplished and he did. And as David says, there isn't anything you can do but believe it, because there isn't anything you can do but believe it. That sounded a little repetitive. And so simply just because there is nothing else that can be done that I have any potential to do, I have to just believe and rest in that fact that it's done. And along with that resting, this is why I think it must be a foundational understanding, a resting in that foundation, because that is where Christ, we resting in him, where that wisdom of God in Christ is available to us. And it's available to us by simply resting and believing that we were placed there, that we can't place ourselves, that he did the work. So I don't know, it hit me at the time as just a marker, another one of those markers for God, for God's wisdom and strength being perfected in absolute weakness, sort of being able to rest and see the things that are not, and yet rest in them and bring them into being. So I don't know. It just kind of hit me.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. That going from glory to glory to glory on up there. It's the walk of faith. It's calling those things that are not as though they were, just like that scripture right there in 1 Corinthians 1:28, and the base things of the world, the things that are despised, did God choose, yes, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. I am not a disobedient person. I am an obedient person of Christ because the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the power of God on high is in me. And if the power of God on high is in me, we can walk that walk of faith that he's given us because God's in us. And we have to just realize that when God's in us, Michael's not alive. Michael's dead. He's dead as a hammer. Praise God. We just have to remember that and keep speaking it, keep walking it out. How many, you know, I'm not going to ask this, but I know I can tell you what I do. I have, you know, I in the past, I just, this thing would come on me and I'd sin. And I just, okay, that was just like Paul, you know, I don't want to do this, yet it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And then I'd cry out to God. And then I finally figured out the power of God in me is so powerful. Why am I allowing this in it? Because I allow my flesh in. Instead of keeping that, listen, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, when I say the Lord, I'm talking about the Word of God. That's the Lord. That's what we're looking at. You keep your eyes on that, that sin will go away. You'll be climbing that mountain all the way up to the glory, to that great place where we're, when we do go to glory, okay, it'll just be a half a step to the side. Glory to God. Jesus right there with you. I'm telling you. Yeah, I see your fingernails there, Missy. What's wrong with you?
you when you said about, you know, the good that I do, when you basically were saying about the good that I want to do I don't do, but the evil that I don't want to do this I do, and you know, and then he says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's that saying? The law, the Spirit of God is more powerful. The law of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus is more powerful than the law of sin and death. Because Jesus died, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and sin and everything else, and resurrected. He defeated it when he resurrected. It was by the power of the Spirit of God that he resurrected. You know, amen. And he did all that for us. He's saying the Spirit of God is more powerful than the law of sin and of death. He's overcome it for us. And all we have to do is believe it, receive it, and enter into it.
Yeah. And look, it doesn't come by feelings either. No, there's no feelings involved in it. A lot of people want to feel Jesus. I just have trouble. I can't feel Jesus. I don't know if Jesus is there. I feel like I'm just out there by myself. No. It's all by faith.
You know that you know.
Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. But just.
You did about three times. That's what I'm trying to bring out here.
You give him the faith and he'll give you the grace.
That's right. Amen. You through preaching?
Mm-hmm. For now.
That was good, though. That was really good, Missy. It was. All right. Go ahead, Pat. I cut up with her. I don't pay attention to me.
You're hammering her good, aren't you? What Missy said there, that was kind of it hit me as well, as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And when I read that, the thing that clicks in my mind is the law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity. And by...
I'm sorry, Pat, you had me going there for a minute. I said, uh-oh, what's this field of aerodynamics? Go ahead.
We may have to cast that out in a little bit. The fact of it is, though, God, the Lord is saying it is a law. Not the law of Moses, it is the law of the Lord. It's a law of faith. It's a law. You can depend upon it. It's like gravity. It's like aerodynamics. Powered flight did not come and destroy gravity. The laws of aerodynamics were applied, and you have to apply them. When you hop on a plane, you are trusting that those aerodynamics, that law of aerodynamics, is going to overcome that law of gravity, and it does every time because it is a law. It functions like a law. And so therefore, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a law. It is a principle, a law. It functions. God put it into place, and that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overcomes the law of sin and death the same way. Now we can, I believe, just like aerodynamics, the law of aerodynamics, you can stop applying that law, and guess what happens? The law of gravity comes back into effect because it's not being overcome. So I think there's a lot of correlation in between that, but I think that just the point that hits me is that it's a law. You can trust in God's laws, his principles. He built the world on laws, and that's the whole law of cause and effect that happens in our life. We're able to learn from our ways by the harsh consequences of our actions because of certain laws of cause and effect in our life. So I don't know. I quit blabbering, but that's the thing that hit me. If you're talking, Michael, we can't hear you.
Oh, and it was good too, Pat. I'm telling you, it was good. I was just muted. But that was the verse in Romans 8 that John G. Lake quoted when the doctors came out and asked him, said, Why don't you have any protective clothing? When him and another guy was pulling all these bubonic plague people, putting them in graves and doing everything, and they wasn't bothered a bit by any of the plague. And he said, why don't you put something on? He said, I am covered by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It doesn't affect me. And that's when he put his hand under, he said, you go get some spit from one of them dead bodies out there that's alive with the germ. Put it on my palm and put it under a microscope, and I'll show you something. He said, put my palm under the microscope. And then look and see what's on there. There's nothing on there. He said, and then put that bubonic plague on there with a bunch of spit coming out of a man's mouth that had died from it. And he said he did, and they saw the little germs and stuff going in there, wiggling around, and all of a sudden, as soon as it hit his palm, they died like a dog. They died because he knew about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we do too. And we don't have to worry about bubonic plague, COVID-19, 20, or 21. We don't have to worry about none of them because we do. We have that same spirit. We have that same power. We have that same redemption. In Jesus' name. By the way, there's another one coming. It's going to be a lot worse than this last one. So Just be prepared. You don't have to worry about it. There's no worry. As they say down under, no worries, mate. Isn't that right, Greg? And that's the way they say it. No worries, mate.
Kind of something like that, yeah.
Tell me I got that wrong. Okay. But there's not. There's no worries at all. Okay. Anybody else got to want to share something?
Not mate, might.
Might. It's M-A-T-E, mate, mate, mate. That's the way we say it in Arkansas. Mate, hey, mate. In Arkansas, we don't speak in syllables. It's everything is one syllable. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm pumped up tonight with the Holy Spirit. Has anybody got anything they want to share? Comment on? Listen, we thought we're gonna finish tonight something about what you do to get in the Spirit of God, you know. Spirit of the Lord. How do you get in the presence of the Lord? And we had some testimonies last week, and we didn't finish up, so Missy didn't finish hers, so here she comes. Come on, Missy, tell us about it, girl.
Well, I was sitting there the whole time, the last time, just really thinking about it. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of hard to explain it, only because there's no formula. It's just however I feel led of the Lord at the time. And if he's leading you, you know, and how to come to him and be in his presence, then it's like, well, you're already in his presence. It's kind of like what Paula was saying. If you have this realization, you know, that you're the temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit, and God lives in you. You know, and you realize the awesomeness of that, you know, the God of heaven and earth gave you breath and life, and he goes before you and he goes behind you. He knows you're sitting down and he knows you're rising up, and he has all the numbers of your head counted and knows which ones are there and which ones are gone. And all your days are written in his book, and you just meditate on the awesomeness of God, the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence of God. I mean, it's like when you just, it's just, he just comes flooding in. And it, but, you know, to me, that's, I guess, just saying whatever's coming to me now, that's, I guess the biggest way I get into the presence of the Lord is just thinking about who he is. And, but sometimes, you know, just if I'm in a battle that the enemy's trying to distract me and all these thoughts coming in my head, you know, here and there, you know, and I feel oppressed, you know, I got to pray in the Spirit. And lots of times just pray and sing, that brings that chases the enemy away. Because, you know, as long as the enemy's there at you in your mind and trying to distract you and oppressing you and all, it's hard to keep your focus on the Lord. And that's one way that, you know, sometimes I have to do battle to get into the presence of the Lord. You know, praying in the Spirit and just singing and praising the Lord. It's a sacrifice to praise. Sometimes it's that you don't feel like it, but if you do it, you know, it just chases the enemy away. And then, you know, I just fill up with joy, and I know that the Lord's there with me. You know, I have his peace then. And sometimes it's a battle, you know. And just chasing all the spirits away, you know. So that's my input.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, Debbie.
I'm glad you still want to talk about this tonight, because I wanted to get on the other night, but we just wasn't able to. But I right away thought about the scripture that says, it's in Isaiah 55 and 6 is, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon while he is near, call upon him while he is near. 3 says, incline your ear and come to him, hear and your soul shall live. And I say them in that order because that's the order that the scripture song we know of is in. So seek him while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Incline your ear and come to him, hear and your soul shall live. So I'm thinking to the same that Misty said, that there's no real formula. To me, I mean, there's things you like to do, like Jesus liked to get away, sit under a tree and get alone with the Father. But he also was out there in the wilderness where he could find a tree, you know, but he got away from the people. So I like to do that too, to go sit on the porch or sit on the bench outside or my room or, you know, but I'm thinking that he says the sheep know his voice and they hear me, and my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And so I believe that a lot of people are stuck with thinking that, you've got to be gifted to hear God's voice. And we don't. He's all around us and we can get in his presence anywhere. And then incline our ear to hear what he wants to say back to us. And no matter where we're at, right, in the car or washing your dishes or anything. So I just really like that thought that I can do that, that I can get with him wherever and then incline my ear and listen to him and know that he's going to speak to me. And that's what he wants to do for all of us. So it's what he wants for all of us, not a special gifting, I don't think, maybe to a certain degree, but anyway, thank you. I wanted to share that. Thank you.
Amen. I guess I'm going to have to repent, Debbie, because when I'm washing dishes, I'm thinking that David ought to be in here doing this. Bless God, I ought not to be having to do this. And I ought to be praying. That's what I ought to be doing. Thank you for correcting me. That's good. That's good. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, again.
Well, another thing about, you know, hearing the Lord's voice, there's lots of times where the Lord tells me, Missy, you hear me better than you think you do. I just don't always recognize it. It's like the enemy tries to tell me that what I'm hearing and thoughts that come to my mind are my thoughts. No, it's the Lord. He said, you know, we have the mind of Christ. And if we believe we have the mind of Christ, for crying out loud, then, you know, we hear him, so I just wanted to say that.
You're muted, Michael.
I knew that. All right. Who's next? How do you get in the presence of the Lord? How do you get into the presence of the Lord? I remember the first time I heard the Lord, scared me to death. Because it was an audible voice. I was getting up one morning. So I was just a brand new Christian. Weeks I'd been a born again Christian. And I was getting up one morning. I was putting my blue jeans on. And while I was putting my blue jeans on, I said, Lord, I just love you. And all of a sudden back here, right in here, Lord said, well, Michael, I love you too. Just like that. And I said, whoa, what was that? And it was the Lord confirming that he loved me too, you know, and he loves all of us the same way. And that was the first time he talked to me. That was awesome. That was all. So I, then, you know, I knew somebody said, well, you can't talk to God. Oh, tell God that. Because he does talk to you. He does. Sometimes the way I do it is I'm like Missy. I like to get up and myself, that's just me. I like to get up and move around and praise God and sing with somebody on the internet that I like to get into the presence of the Lord. And then when I do that, I start singing in the spirit after that and doing a lot of spiritual praying to get into the spirit. And then I sit down and I just listen. You have to be in the spirit of the Lord. You have to be in the spirit in order to hear the spirit. You know, he is spirit. And so when you get in the spirit, you can hear the Lord, you know. And I was taught by Eve, actually. I called her one day. I said, Eve, how do you listen to, how do you hear the Lord and all that, you know, because she gets these words from the Lord a lot. I said, how do you do that? She said, Michael, she said, just sit down and just be still. And then just imagine in your mind, Jesus is there with you, because he is, right? Just imagine Jesus is sitting right there with you. And just ask him those questions that you have. And when you ask him a question, be sitting there with a notebook and a pencil and listen to what he says. You're listening in the spirit. You're not listening to music. You're not listening to anything but your spirit, you know, the spirit of God. And you listen to what he says, and he'll talk to you. He'll tell you the things that you want to know. So you write him down. He'll even wait till you get through with that writing it down before he answers the next question. Now, that's happened to me many times since then. And if you ask the Lord, you can ask the Lord. Look, he said to ask, to seek, and to knock. He wants us to be able to get into, to know. He wants us to have the wisdom, you know. He wants us to see things in the spirit realm too. If you want to see angels, ask him. Lord, let me see some angels. Man, he'll inundate you with angels. Now, that's going to be people that won't believe you. Know what I mean? And they question you, but that's okay. It doesn't make any difference because you know what you saw. And it blesses people. It blesses a lot of folks when you do that. Not everybody gets to see things like that. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I don't know why he shows them to me and he doesn't show them to somebody else. It's not my business. He shows other people, he gives other people words of what's going to happen in the future and all that kind of stuff. Man, I'd love to be able to do that. But he just hadn't shown me a lot of that. Not yet. He will. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I have a question for everybody. It has to pertain to what you were just saying, Michael, that God reveals himself to different people differently. Mm-hmm. I've related this before many times, but when I was in Singapore, there was the second year I was going to high school there, the Lord I was watching. I'll just go through this just a bit of the story again. I went into a room where they were showing a film about Christ. He was, and the video, the 16 millimeter film had Jesus up on the cross. And I don't think I was watching the whole thing. I think I stepped in at that time, or something like that. And there was a very compelling soloist singing just a cappella something like an Israeli, I don't know, it was just very compelling. All of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, all this is real. Jesus really died for me. And I left. I mean, I was only in the room for, I don't know, must have been a very short time. And I left, I was just overcome. And I remember going off to my favorite place to, where I actually worked there at the high school. I had the keys to the rooms and whatnot. And so I went and sat at the top of the fire stairs on the cement there, circular fire stairs like they have in Singapore, at the back of buildings. And I just sat there, and the Lord just started revealing himself to me. And one thing was right off the bat was that he died for me specifically. And when he was going through all that stuff and when he was on the cross, that was, he had me specifically in mind. And I know it's different for everybody. It's because I think he makes it personal for all of us. But, you know, it was really overwhelming, obviously. I was just crying my eyes out. And then he told me that, you know, he was going to use me and all these things. So even though I had been baptized years before that, and I had spent time with the Lord every day, my Bible and prayer and whatnot in the morning, that I look at that really as my start of walking with the Lord and in that kind of a close relationship. But here's my question. I somehow think that there are a lot of people that who are claim to be Christians and members of denominations and whatnot who actually have never met the Lord. That's how I would phrase it, is they haven't actually met him. They haven't had an audience with him. There's no point in their experience where they can say, yes, God sat me down, told me something, or somehow he showed himself to me somewhere. This is what I'm thinking, and that is, and I've looked at different people's experiences and what they've said about what it takes to come to the Lord, but I really think that one of the things that used to happen before a person can truly walk with the Lord, and that is that they meet the Lord, that the Lord reveals himself to them, and it's something that's God's timing, and he'll do it when he wants to and how he does it, but I think that needs to happen. So I guess my question is to everybody, what do you think? For me, that's kind of a underlying expectation. I would like to, when I talk to somebody, I think for somebody to start out, they need to meet the Lord. And I've watched Torben praying for people and others in their group, you know, because there's tons and tons of footage, video footage of them working with people on the streets. But there's always seems to be this point where those people that they're praying for actually get this revelation of God. And I just think that's, so I just like to throw that out and see what you folks think. I don't think it's enough to just be baptized in a denomination because you bought off on a bunch of doctrines. You've mentally assented to all these things or whatever the different denominations put there as, you know, prerequisite for entrance and to be a good tithe paying member and good and regular standing and all this stuff. So obviously that's not it. So anyway, just want to throw that question out there. Is that fair to have the expectation that people that are walking with the Lord need to have met the Lord at least at some point?
They'll have to have, you know what salvation is, don't you? Malcolm?
Soteria.
What's that?
Soteria, the Greek. It's yeah. Like a baby, everything's supplied.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there needs to be a point where the A person needs to meet their maker. That's what I'm.
You need
that's really what I think needs to happen. Is at some point there needs to be God. They need to have God reveal Himself to them to get a start. Not that they have to be baptized in the Spirit right then. I'm just saying that they need to know that God has addressed has talked to them and revealed Himself to them.
Well,
in whatever
yeah.
way He chooses.
Yeah, but being baptized in the Holy Spirit is something that you should seek right up from the beginning. You should get them
right
off to get
that's
them.
Part of the but you
that's
know
the
of course
wisdom
a lot of
God. That's the power.
A lot of people don't even know.
I know.
You know, I'm just saying that the absolute base is to actually meet God, and then of course the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings it. You know, brings up to speed and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So your operation.
You have to have salvation before you ever can receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, you know that, and I know everybody in here knows that.
Yeah.
But that should be something that should be sought right after you get salvation. And once you get the Holy Spirit, then the Word opens up to you in a way that should help you, you know.
I know so many people in churches that I know they've never met God because, you know, people talk with all great enthusiasm about doctrines, about their belief of what's going to happen in the end times and all this stuff. But you can tell that way down deep, they've never actually met God. There's never been a meeting of the minds there. So, and it's a supernatural thing. My feeling is that people will know if they've met God or not.
Yep.
I don't want to be like the person that says, well, I know the day and the hour that I was saved.
Well, wait a minute.
That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about meeting God.
Yeah.
In other words, I didn't shake a preacher's hand.
When are you saved? When are you truly saved?
From the
That's
foundation
the
of
question
the earth.
That you. No, you're saved when you step foot in heaven. That's when you bear the fruit, you know, 30, 40, and 60, 30, 60, and 100 fold. As David teaches in salvation, instant and progressive. It's instantaneously in your spirit, of course. Your spirit is immediately changed. And then you start, the Lord starts teaching you to get rid of Michael's soul and put Jesus in there. The nature, character of Jesus and power of Jesus. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With the Word of God. It's not something that, like most denominations teach, is that I've stepped over the line, I've got my ticket punched, bless God, I got to kick back now and wait on Jesus. And that's not the way it is. A lot of people, well, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, go ahead, Pat.
Malcolm reminded me of kind of my early days in the organized church. I mean, I've mentioned it before. I kind of came from a conservative, non-spirit-filled bunch. And I remember... I mean, that was the path the Lord led me. I met the Lord before I went into that, and He led me through that path. I would have certainly never chose to go into church, you know, join any church, quite frankly, but the Lord knew that there was a necessary benefit that had to happen that could only happen through that process. But I remember being in it for such a long time. I mean, it wasn't too long before I started seeking, you know, I kind of hit the end of the pablum and was needing, you could see that this boat I was in was not taking me where I wanted to go type of thing. And I knew that I needed, I was seeking God in a deeper way. And and the Lord had me in these verses in Hebrews, which was talking about the new covenant. I believe it was in Andrew Murray's book, The Difference Between, he has a book, The New and the Old Covenant or whatever. And he kind of goes through and fleshes out the difference between the two, which is a very good book that, but anyway, I ended up in these verses, and it is the new covenant and an explanation of that for finding fault. Hebrews 8:8, finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, when I was in that group, in that Baptist tradition, many people in that denomination believed that this scripture was talking about the Jews of old, people of Israel, and this was a promise to them in the future, sometime in the millennium or whatever you want to call it. I'm going to make a covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. And this, when I was reading this and really got to seeing this, this showed me where I was at and the mindset of the people that I was in, that they believed in a God that constantly had to take them by the hand and lead them through a process, but they didn't continue in that. They wouldn't continue in that obedience. It wouldn't continue. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, and in their heart I will write them, and I will be to them a God. And that point hit me. I will be to them a God. Something's going to happen, and these people are going, the person in this condition is going to realize that God, really, the real God, exists. Something's going to happen within them. I will be to them a God. He didn't say, they're going to think of me as God. He said, no, I'm going to be to them as God. They're going to come into that awareness, and they shall be my people. And the result of that is they will not teach anymore every man, to know the Lord. These are the 10 steps. You hear it every Sunday in church. Here's the 10 steps. This is how you be with the Lord. I'm going to teach you how to be with the Lord. And this is teach you how to walk with the Lord. And you're failing. I'm going to teach you this. They're going through this teaching process, always teaching, trying to teach a person how to know God. But when they come into this experience of the new covenant relationship with God, not that old thing, but the new covenant, they will regard God and see God as God, and they shall no more be teaching themselves through preaching how to know God, because every one of them will know God within themselves, and they will know that they know God. And that when Malcolm was talking, was saying this, it reminded me of that time in there, because that was exactly what, struggling through this environment, I realized that there's something that's off here, because God bless these people. They were trying their best, but there was just that umbilical cord of the Spirit of God that makes that connection with God. And you realize that you have him and he has you. You've realized that connection. They did not have. They weren't experiencing it. And I don't know if they were still stuck in that old covenant relationship with God, even though they were new cut with, they were Christians, new covenant, but they weren't experiencing that new covenant relationship. And so what I believe what Malcolm is saying there is what I discovered and experienced in that environment. So I'll just leave it at that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, they were told to meet with God three times in a year. And those three times equate to us experiencing three times in our life, in our lifetime. They were to meet with God at Passover, and then also at Pentecost, and then also at Tabernacles, all three. And we have that experience in our life. When we get saved, we get the revelation of Jesus at Passover. But then we go on to, as God leads us, to Pentecost, and we get the revelation of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Spirit. But in the New Testament, there's also tabernacle. All three of these are types and shadows of, and it goes into the New Testament that we have in our relationship with God, where there's also a meeting with God at the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it's a progressive thing. We keep pushing on as God gives us the revelation. At the Tabernacles, they had, in that season, there was the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles itself. And on the Day of Atonement is when all sin was removed from Israel. And we are to experience that in our life, of all sin being removed. You know, and that had to be so then that he could go on further into the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But then it goes on into the Feast of Tabernacles, in which we tabernacle with God, and he tabernacles with us. So it's all types and shadows of the relationship that we have. So it is progressive. Someone could get saved, and it's pretty much they could stay at Passover their whole life, actually, because of the teaching they have. And if you don't get the revelation of the truth, then you're not believing for the right thing. You're not believing for enough. It's an immaturity in your relationship, because you're not, your faith isn't reaching out to those other things. You're just staying at Passover, and that's the 30, 60, 100 fold. We can see that it's all several things in the New Testament that bear this out. You know, that the buds, blossoms, and almonds on the rod for authority. It's, you know, the bud is the beginning. It's the promise of, there's a hope of something. Then there's a blossom. Things are beginning to mature. That would be like going on into Pentecost. And then there's the almond, the fruit, you know, it's a threefoldedness in the, so thank you, Father.
That's very good.
Amen.
I was going to agree with that. You, Denny, you ought to teach, I mean, you ought to put something together about that concept of the tabernacles and expand on that a little bit, because that's a good now does the taking away of sin, is that in the tabernacles portion of that, or is that before? where did,
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Julie. I'm not laughing at you, Pat.
Oh,
I'm used to it.
Well, we have the forgiveness of sin at Passover, actually, but
I'm speaking about the taking away.
Okay, that was on the Day of Atonement when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. He first brought in a bull, an offering for his own sins, and then he brought in a goat and offered that for the sins of the people. And then there was a scapegoat, and the scapegoat was, all the sin was confessed on the scapegoat, and it was let go into the wilderness. And it's a symbol of sin being removed. And I know, not just covered over, but removed, you know, taken away out of, just taken completely away. And that's what God has for us, you know, in the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what I think he's fulfilling now in the church history, in the, where we are in time, you know, we're in that season of transition from Pentecost to Passover. And from Pentecost to Tabernacles.
So that is my question, mm-hmm. is not that I want to hog all the time here, but that's my question, is that awareness of sin being removed in that process is the next transition, Tabernacles?
Well, that's in the Tabernacles. There was three parts to that. It was a feast, just as you had Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits. There were three feasts right together. It was in the Passover season. You would say all of them were part of the Passover season. Then you had Pentecost, which sort of stands alone. And then in the fall feast, you had three feasts: trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. There's three separate feasts, but they blend together into one, the same way it did in the beginning of the year. And so there's actually, and then part of it is the removal of sin. And that's what, you know, I think God has shown us that's, we can, sin can be completely removed and we can walk in that holiness and purity.
Amen.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's good.
Okay. Is that paragraph 2 and 3, Joe, in the first chapter? Okay. All right. Let me look at it. Yeah. All right. Who's next? We're about out of time here. Matter of fact, we are. Okay, anybody got any prayer requests before we get out, close up? Lord, we just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit who abides in all of us, directs us, leads us, teaches us, opens up the word to us, peels back the revelations in each verse, Lord. We thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. We ask and we pray, Father, that you continue to show us that we don't have to put up with sin anymore, that you are in us with power from on high and gave us that power already, and all we need to do is just obey what the word says. We thank you, Father, for all the nice little things that come open to us, these nice little, they're big, they're huge, huge, as Mr. Trump said. But Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for every little one that we get, because they are to us at the time, they're a revelation. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Place it in our hearts, Lord. Place that hunger in us to get in the word and to understand that all we have to do is, when we run across a verse that we don't understand, just sit there and meditate it and ask you, say, Lord, what does this mean? I know it means something. Show me, Lord. And boy, I know you just come through, Lord. And we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all a good night's sleep tonight. Thank you, Lord, for working in everybody here tonight to come out and talk about how they get into the presence of the Lord, and all these other things that we've been talking about tonight. That's exactly what you wanted us to do, and we praise you, Father, for leading us in that direction. In Jesus' name we pray. And thank you for all of our prayers that have been answered tonight, too, also. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, y'all. Let me get y'all unmuted here. Wonder why it doesn't allow me to unmute y'all anymore. Y'all just have to unmute yourself.